We've been looking at the equipment that protects believers from the encroachments and assaults of darkness, a battle that's mounting up in our day with a level of intensity that's alarming. And we've just been focusing upon what the Word of God has to say about the importance of claiming our position of protection and victory, our assurance of ability to do the will of God in the day in which we live, no matter when it is. We've taken some time to look at our union with Christ. Be strong in the Lord. We've taken some time to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the power of His might. We've also taken time to focus upon the whole armor of God. And I've been bringing a message on each part of the armor. And today we come to the shield of faith. I want to read just the verses that focus upon the armor again, beginning with verse 13. Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, or above all, as the King James puts it, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, anyone who's made a special study of the parts of the armor has recognized that the shield of faith is singled out and lifted out of the rest of the parts of the armor for special emphasis. It's a very deliberate thing. As though the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle, wants every one of us to know how vital and important it is to be shielded. And I hope that as we would focus upon the shield of faith this morning, that you'll have a new appreciation of the need to claim it every day and to use it effectively. Most of us take for granted important shields. We don't really dwell upon them as much as we ought to. Those of you who've read my second book, Overcoming the Adversary, perhaps will remember an illustration I share out of our own personal lives of how much a shield means to us. So on the occasion when Anita and I were celebrating one of our anniversaries, and we went to the John Hancock building there in Chicago, where near where we were pastoring, and we went to the world's highest restaurant at that particular time, and there we were seated 96 floors above the pavement, right next to the glass where we had a very beautiful panoramic view of the shoreline of Lake Michigan, the vastness of the Chicago skyline. And we spent some time just looking at that, and then as we talked about the romance of our happy married life together and got caught up in the enjoyment of our dinner, We did not note what was happening outside until all of a sudden it was there. A violent thunderstorm had suddenly come, and all of its focus seemed to be right around that John Hancock building. And we were right in the midst of clouds that were full of rain. And all of a sudden we felt the shudder of the whole building as the thunder blasted out its noise, and the lightning was flashing, and the wind was blowing and whirling the clouds and dashing the rain against the glass that was right there. But it never touched us. The shield protected us. We were seated in our best of clothing. And other than the uncertainty of being in the center of the clouds and the fury and the thunder, there was nothing to be alarmed about because the shield was there. I think that helps illustrate a little of what Paul is talking about when he says with special emphasis, take the shield of faith. With it you can quench, you can put out, extinguish all the flaming arrows of Satan. We're in that time of year when many of us are traveling on vacations. And it also happens to be the time of year when the bug population comes out, and especially if you drive at night. You know what can happen to your windshield. And perhaps you've been very annoyed by all that smeary mess that gets on your windshield. The only thing that makes you think it's pretty nice is when you realize what would happen if the windshield wasn't there. And all of a sudden those messy bugs would be all over your clothing. And you'd have to wipe them off of your glasses. And maybe even, at least some of you, dig them out of your mouth. And maybe even try to extract them from a delicate eye. Because the shield protects you from those missiles of flying bugs that are coming at you, whatever speed you're driving, and they smash against the windshield. But they don't touch you because the shield is there. And that's the picture we have here of Satan's flaming missiles that are coming at you all of the time. And sometimes some seasons of your life more intensely than others. And if it were not for the shield being there, they would hurt you. They would wound you. They would even destroy you. And so the shield is of very great importance in spiritual warfare. We must wear it. And I want us to examine just two questions today about the shield. First of all, why is it of such critical importance? And the second question, what is the shield of faith? So let's just focus for a while on those two rather simple questions. Why is this shield so critical in its importance? First of all, it's critical in its extensiveness. Look at verse 16 again. In addition to all of this, and as I've already mentioned, that those words single this particular part of the armor out for unique attention and importance. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all, I like that, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The extensiveness of the protection. Have you ever thought of that? That God shields you with an allness of His protection. The Greek word thureos, that's translated shield, means a big shield. And the Romans had different size shields. One that was usually used in fierce battle was a shield that extended from about the face level to the ankle level. And the soldier, especially when he was advancing against arrows and the fierce opposition of an enemy, wanted the large shield because it was capable of deflecting the most incoming arrows that were intent upon piercing the armor, piercing the body of the soldier. And the picture here is of a large shield that you have. In fact, I think even the Roman shield is inadequate. That's why we had you read for the call to worship this morning what the psalmist had to say about God's shielding. Notice that 12th verse of the 5th Psalm. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Now, what is that picturing? It's picturing that God shields you in every direction. That's why you find in some of the Psalms, like Psalm 139, the picture of the Heavenly Father, the protection of God, being in front of you and behind you, being on your right and your left and above you and beneath you. The shield is the encapsulating of God, so that no matter which direction the enemy wants to advance against you, the shield of faith is there to protect you, to encapsulate you, to keep you. I'm sure that most of us have had a little experience of watching these space shuttles as they go to and from the stratosphere and outer space. And a great deal of attention is given to make sure that those astronauts are encapsulated. They're surrounded with a shield. It's absolutely necessary because of the hostility of the atmosphere for those astronauts, and especially when they re-enter. There's no way they could survive if they were not encapsulated. And one of the things that they spend a great deal of attention to as those space shuttles come back and are to be used again is to how those tiles, those ceramic tiles, survive the tremendous heat of re-entry, because they know that they're absolutely essential to the safety of our astronauts. And that's the picture we have of a shield of God that surrounds us, because the enemy is coming at us from every direction. And it's absolutely essential that the extensiveness of our protection be understood. God shields you. And that's what it means when you claim the shield of faith. That God's protection is in every direction, and you're safe. The second thought I would share with you about why it's so important is that it's critical in its what I've called objectiveness. And what I want to stress here is that the shield is not your faith. The shield is the object of your faith. It's what you put your faith in that protects you. Faith in itself is not a shield. And we've had illustrations of this in a number of situations. that we could bring to attention of soldiers who have worn good luck charms and have depended upon the rabbit's foot or something else to protect them from the bullets of the enemy. What folly. Or even some of the soldiers we've read about in certain African conflicts who have covered their bodies with ashes that have the witch doctor said was going to protect them from the bullets of the soldiers opposing them. The only thing that happened was you had a lot of soldiers with ashes all over their bodies, riddled with bullets. You can put faith in the wrong thing, but will not protect you at all. Most of us were touched by that freedom fighter, that young student in China who, when the tanks began to advance, he stood in front of a tank and faced down the tank and stopped the whole column by his bravery, until finally one of his friends came and grabbed him and tugged him out of the way. Now you have to admire the tremendous bravery of that young student who was ready to die for his love for freedom. But all of us know that if the soldier of that tank had the will to just keep moving, that bravery or no bravery, he would have been crushed beneath its treads. Because something more is needed to shield you than just faith or bravery. And it's the object of our faith that protects us. And we want to talk about that in a moment. But let's move on. It's critical also in what I've called its subjectiveness. The confidence of protection needs to be something that's in your heart as you wear the shield. And I think perhaps at this moment, it's a good place to say that wearing or using the shield of faith does not mean that you sit like Anita and I did in the restaurant enjoying dinner, and always you're totally protected from everything that comes your way. Sometimes it's not that way. And there are striking illustrations of how that the enemy came very close to God's people. Job, of course, is one of the most direct illustrations of that. I'm absolutely convinced that Satan would kill us all if it weren't for the shielding of God and the protection of God. And such as in Job's situation, God said, even though Satan could touch Job's family and touch his wealth and touch his own body, he couldn't take his life. God shields us. But the thing that happens when any of Satan's activity passes through the shield, it no longer is the destroying arrows, flaming and burning of Satan. But when they pass through the shield of faith, they become a refining, purifying, changing influence in your own life. I just loved what some of the young people told us that Mindy Anderson had said about her experience going through the boot camp for being over there in Europe in ministry this summer, where they had to live in these tents and do their own cooking and no hair dryers and all of that business, and showers only every few days. And she said, I hate everything about this. But she said, I know it's just what I need. And some of the young people said already in just 2 weeks, they see a changed young lady. You see, that's kind of a picture of what happens when God may, for his own sovereign purposes, allow some of the battle to get very close to us When it passes through the shield of faith, it ceases to be the destroying arrows of Satan. It becomes a refining influence that God uses for our good and our maturity and our development. It's wonderful when the shield of faith is in its place. And the final thought about why it's so critical in its importance, it's critical in its intensiveness. You'll notice that the picture is one of blazing missiles, fiery darts coming our way. And I think it helps to illustrate the intensive, deadly nature of the battle. And this is one of the ways that Satan tries to get at us. If you've studied anything about ancient warfare, you know how that one of the ways that armies would advance against these well-walled cities to try to conquer them was to advance with the troops who had the flaming arrows out in the front. And they would take these flaming arrows and let them fly into the city. And they would, with their burning pitch points, would settle onto the roofs and structures inside the walls of the city and begin to burn and set on fire so that those soldiers who were standing on the ramparts and by the doors and gates of the city ready to protect the city would be so busy fighting the fires all over the city that it would distract them and take them away until perhaps the troops invading would be able to scale the wall or batter down the gates with their ram to get in and conquer the city. And I think that is a good illustration of the way that Satan tries to come at us. These flaming arrows are meant to get all kinds of burning issues that Satan's behind, trying to destroy our family and destroy us and get us so busy putting out the fires that we forget the victory we have in Christ. And so it's very important to understand the critical nature of the shield, how important it is. And that brings us to the final thoughts. What is this shield? We've already said that the shield is not your faith, it's the object of your faith. Well, what is to be the object of your faith? When you claim the shield of faith and clothe yourself with it and take it to protect you, what are you taking? Well, first of all, you're taking the omnipresence of God Himself. I like to look at this in every one of the texts where the shield is mentioned in the Old Testament. And it's mentioned the presence of God Himself. He's your shield. God, the Lord is His shield. And He is certainly the shield of sin, and He shields you. One of the New Testament, on his missionary journey, he had been forced out of Philippi, and probably assumed that he was rather unnerved. Not surprising that after he comes to Corinth, we read in that 18th, and no one is going to attack you and harm you. That beautiful word of God. God is your shield. Kind of tied in with that is you're claiming the positional power. That is why I am suffering, Paul says, as I am. Yet I'm the deep awareness of who He is in His salvation is part of what the shield is. It's your awareness of who you have to recognize. The emphasis the Bible puts upon the blood of Christ, and the children have flesh and blood. He too shared in their humanity. He deliver those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And that rejoicing that takes place because of it's the death of Christ That's just the protecting presence of holy angels. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those? And Hebrews 13 says that there are times when we may entertain angels unawares. And we've all had or heard stories, perhaps of missionaries and others who seem to have been specially protected by angels. But they're angels here. I know they're present because I invited them to be here and asked them to be here to protect us. And it's part of their ministry to be here. And it's part of your understanding of the shield to know and claim their presence, to shield you and protect you. There are many fascinating Old Testament stories, but none any more fascinating than this one that I lift out of 2 Kings chapter 6. It's that account when the soldiers and king of Aram had come to against Israel to try to conquer it, and he wasn't succeeding too well, and he was very upset about it. Tried to find out what was going on, and someone said, well, your real problem is there's a prophet in Israel who knows everything you're going to do before you do it. Knows everything you say, even in your bedroom. Well, the king didn't understand that, but he thought the best thing to do was get this prophet. Found out where Elisha was in the city of Dothan, and the servant of the man of God, Elisha, got up one morning and went out early. And around the city was an army with horses and chariots. And he cried out, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? And here's what Elisha said. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. And the angels were there ready to do it, and they did. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked, told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. What a beautiful Old Testament story to illustrate a beautiful truth. God has angels as a part of shielding you and protecting you. And you need to understand the importance as you take on, especially claiming that which shields and quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. It is the presence of Almighty God. It's the wonderful truth that's come to your heart through your understanding of what it is to belong to God and be united with Him. And it is the sacrificial death of Christ in His blood. And it is the holy angels who are servants appointed to protect you. Now, when and how ought we to take this armor protection? There are three words I would just leave with you in application. First of all, be consistent in putting on your armor. The shield's effectiveness requires constant usage. And I believe it's something that you ought to do every day before you even get up in the morning. Claim your armor. And certainly when you sense the battle, put on your armor. Be consistent in it. I believe part of the reason why God wants that, it's like the gathering of the manna in ancient Israel when they were in the wilderness. And they had to do it every day. Because it helps us know that our provision is the Lord's presence with us. So be consistent. And there's another word somewhat like consistent. Be persistent. The shield's effectiveness requires your persistence. Not passively assuming it, but persisting in the protection that belongs to you. And it even gets stronger than that. Be insistent that the enemy must back off because of the loingirdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the sandals of peace and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And just insist that he is defeated through the person and work of Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful joy and delight it is to know that you've provided for your people. You've not left us to struggle and battle in this world where darkness is so prevalent and growing and increasing. You've provided us all that we need to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we would pray that you would give us each one as believers a new awareness of how much you love us and all that you provided for us through the Lord Jesus. Amen.